Members' questions. We will now consider the late question. So, Councillor Anoud Al-Samarai, do you wish to ask a supplemental question? Thank you very much indeed. Moving to members' question time. We only have 30 minutes for questions, so members should ensure their supplemental questions are genuine questions rather than speeches. And the first question, Leah Pollock, Councillor Pollock. Do you have a supplemental question, Councillor Pollock? Okay, there's a mic coming to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And thank you to the Leader for his answer to my question. I have a quick supplemental. What does the Leader believe is the likely impact of the London Fire Brigade Commissioner's proposal to remove a fire engine from the Old Kent Road fire station?
Did you hear that question?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I did. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. It's very similar to the question that's on the question paper. So I kind of will repeat my answer. But I think there is a wider issue, which I can talk about a bit more. I mean, Southwark has suffered considerably through the loss of fire appliances and fire stations over the last couple of years. And in a part of London where the density of housing and building is increasing year on year, and where our population is increasing year on year, and where we've had, tragically, a history of deaths in fires in recent times, it does seem a very surprising move that the Commissioner is once again looking to reduce the service provided by the fire authority in this borough. And it is truly regrettable that effectively the bottom line is dictating the level of service that's being provided by the fire service rather than response times and rather than by the service which the residents of our borough need.
Thank you. Councillor Rajan's not here. So question three, Councillor Jane Lyons. Do you have a supplemental question?
My supplemental question is fairly brief. Could I please be put in touch with the officers who have had the meetings with the railway companies and also be more informed about the stakeholder meeting, which went past without any being noticed at all locally. No knowledge of that, I'm afraid. So could we pursue that one? I take the point about funding, but we do get continuing pressure from residents on accessibility at that station, and obviously ongoing, continuing debates about transport and access and getting around Dulwich, which is a problem. Thank you.
I want to thank Councillor Lyons for her supplemental question. Yes, I will ensure those details are forwarded to you. I know that the general issue of rail service is coming up later in the meeting, but it is a matter of great concern, I think, throughout the borough. The rail services are not adequate for the increasing population I was just talking about moments ago. We are hopeful, of course, to see a Camberwell Thameslink station being delivered within the next few years as part of Thameslink improvements, and that will help, but it won't help if the trains that arrive at that station are full and there's no room for additional passengers to get on. I have asked in recent days for a meeting with Sir Peter Hendy, who's now in charge of Network Rail, to raise some concerns with him about transport and particularly train transport in the borough, and I'll keep all colleagues advised of how that meeting goes, when it happens, and the outcome of that meeting.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Octavia Lamb, do you have a supplemental question? You do? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you to the Leader for your answer. Just an extra question. What long-term impact do you think the initiative will have for children in Southwark, not only improving early childhood literacy, but also encouraging parents and carers to spend this extra one-on-one time with children?
I want to thank Councillor Lamb for her supplementary question. I think it's hugely important. We know that one of the ongoing barriers to improved employment prospects for too many of our residents is the fact that they simply don't have basic literacy and maths. And if, through a scheme like this, which is aimed primarily at children, of course, up to the age of five, if that means that parents actually can begin to tackle some of the problems maybe that they face in their lives but haven't yet been able to admit, that will be a huge, huge benefit to this borough. English and maths and acquiring basic skills so that you can improve your employment prospects, absolutely vital for so many of our residents, particularly where English is a second language also, for instance. So the fact that you might well have parents sitting down, reading with their children, from that very early age is wonderful. I think this is an absolutely terrific, terrific initiative. And I want to thank Dolly Parton and Dial a Flight, who are delivering this for our borough. Fantastic.
Thank you. Councillor Damien O'Brien, do you have a supplemental question? There's a microphone coming to you.
And thank you to the leader for your answer. With the feasibility study underway, which is good news, is it envisaged that the emission-based charges will be applied both to the holders of estate permits and highways permits?
I want to thank Councillor O'Brien for his supplementary question. I don't know the answer to that, and probably because we haven't reached that stage of decision-making yet in the process. But it is obviously something that does need to be taken into account. Presumably it's Councillor Merrill who's leading on this, and what I will ask Councillor Merrill to do is to get in touch with you, to have a conversation about how that might work, and what you think the benefits and disbenefits of the scheme might be. On housing permit, with granted housing permits and more general permits.
Thank you. Councillor Gavin Edwards, do you have a supplemental question? There's a microphone behind you.
I thank the leader for his answer to my question. On Sunday, Labour councillors joined thousands of other people marching against the Housing and Planning Bill. The LGA is now suggesting that the government's plans are going to mean that we're going to lose 88,000 homes. Does the leader of the council agree that it is wrong and immoral to force councils to sell homes to fund right to buy for housing association tenants, particularly as there's no way of preventing those homes from ending up in the hands of private landlords?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Edwards, for that supplementary question. I agree absolutely with the sentiments in your supplementary question. I've made my views clear, I think, previously at Council Assembly meetings, of my view of the implications of the Housing and Planning Bill, particularly with regard to the forced sale of council houses. It's wrong. We have a housing crisis in London at the moment, yet the only policy that this government is interested in is home ownership. They believe that that is the answer to all of the housing problems of London, of the country. We know, every one of us in this chamber knows, that that is not the answer for the bulk of Southwark's residents. So we will continue to campaign, and I'm sure members right across this chamber will continue to campaign against the effects of the Housing and Planning Bill. We've been a pretty prudent landlord. You might not agree with everything that we've done over the years, but we've been a pretty prudent landlord. And I think it would be a great shame if we lost the opportunity to manage our stock as we see fit and to put the interests of our residents, both current and future, at the heart of what we want to do as a council. And this Housing and Planning Bill does exactly that. It takes power out of our hands. Just today, again, the government on education just wants to take power out of the hands of local government, centralise it in terms of how schools are run. They're doing the same with housing in pursuit of dogmatic policies which are not in the interests of our residents. And we should oppose it, we'll continue to oppose it, and put the interests of Southwark at the heart of all that we do.
Thank you. Councillor Nudal Samurai, do you have a supplemental question?
Thanks very much to the leader for his answer. My question is about tall buildings, and if the leader had been at the Bermondsey and Rotherhithe Community Council last night, there's a real fear around the Canada Water Master Plan and what that, the impact of tall buildings there. And I think one of the concerns about the changes to the new Southwark Plan is some of the changes in definitions to tall buildings and areas of where they are. And I can understand some of the reasons for doing that. I just wonder if the leader actually has any concerns about the changes in the Southwark Plan in terms of effectively allowing officers or having less clarity about where tall buildings go and what they actually mean, because I think that's actually having an impact in terms of fear for the community about what can happen on their doorstep at the moment.
I want to thank Councillor Samurai for her supplementary question. I think this is a really interesting subject, and of course it's one that is concerning lots of Londoners at the moment. What does the skyline of London look like? I'm somebody who believes that in order for us to be a vibrant city, the skyline does have to change sometimes. It does have to reflect the fact that London is a vibrant city. It's not, you know, preserved in aspic, and, you know, that we want to see investment, particularly coming into parts of London which haven't seen it historically. And it always makes me chuckle a little bit that some of the most vociferous opposition to tall buildings coming into Southwark is from those parts of London which are kind of fixed and they're all okay and they're all fine over there. And it's either a little bit of you can't have it down there or a little bit of envy, I think, sometimes generates some of the opposition. But I hear what she says about local concern and I hear what she says about the Southwark plan. I think what we've tried to do is, I think, really make it clear in terms of, for officers and for everyone, as to where it's suitable tall buildings to go. We've had principal clusters that we have encouraged in the past. London Bridge, Blackfriars, the Elephant, Canada Water, I think is likely to become a cluster of tall buildings going forward, and that's allowed for within the Area Action Plan. But there are other locations, junctions, kind of wayfinders, as it were, where a tall building may be appropriate. And that's the approach that we have always taken when somebody's come in with an application to talk to us about it. We really force them to justify why you want a tall building in that particular location. And they do have to jump through hoops and really make their case. And quite often, you know, they won't get what they want and they won't get the tall building where they want it because they're not able to make the case. Because we are mindful of the impact that it does have on existing communities. We are mindful of the impact that it might have on rights to light and all those sorts of issues and the effect on the existing community there. So I think what the New Southwark Plan does is I think makes it clearer what our policy is. It isn't a free-for-all across the borough. That would not work at all. It would not be appropriate. But it does say, as in addition to the cluster areas I already mentioned, there may be points where tall buildings are appropriate, but you've got to make the case for it. And you've got to make the case for a building of exceptional design, exceptional quality, which actually adds to Southwark rather than detracts from any way. I think there's a point in there also, and it kind of snuck through in the way you put the question, in terms of officers. And we're going to come on to this a bit later, but this is a member-run administration, and I think we all want this to be a member-run council, a member-run organisation. So it really is the members who take responsibility for the decisions that we make. It is members who drive through policy, the policy on viability assessments. That's come from us as members, absolutely. And so come from there. No, I don't. Well, Adele, you can claim the credit, and I'm sure you will, because Lib Dems love claiming the credit. We all know that. But actually, if there were no members on our side who were also insisting, saying this is what we want to see, this is what we want to see done, it would not happen. Nothing happens from opposition. Remember that. Remember that. You know, we are mindful of that. But as I say, this is about clarification. Members leading through the process of people first coming to us and members leading in the decision-taking at planning committee. And that's how this council should remain. But this is not, as I say, a free-for-all for tall buildings across our borough. That message should go back to our communities. But it's about giving clearer definition and clearer guidance to those who do want to build in our borough.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Maisie Anderson, do you have a supplemental question?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I do. I'd like to thank the leader for his answer to my question on the regeneration of shopping parades in the borough. As a councillor representing Newington Ward, a lot of the residents there use the Woolworth Road for most of their shopping needs. So I was wondering, as my supplemental, if the leader could explain how this funding will help to support small businesses on the Woolworth Road and encourage people to shop locally.
I want to thank Councillor Anderson for her supplementary. It's a very funny atmosphere in here, isn't it? Yeah, the lights are shining and everyone's kind of really well behaved and really quiet. And, yeah. I'm sure that will fall apart before the evening is out. Yeah. The question was about the Walworth Road, and which is of great importance. Thank you, Councillor Anderson. We could, yes. And the Walworth Road, one of our most important streets, one of our most important roads in the borough, which has been probably too sadly neglected for too long in terms of attention the council has directly given to it. And I'm pleased that the £2 million regeneration fund will be making a massive difference to the Walworth Road. I think we will see genuine funding coming from that to revitalise the high street. We believe that it will support the independent shops and businesses that are already there. We'll carry on doing that. There's no bell, you see, is there? You should have.
Okay, ring.
And of course, we've also seen the credit union open at last on Walworth Road. A Labour council delivering what we promised we would.
Thank you very much. Okay, the time for questions to the leader has now ended, so we'll move on to questions from community councils. Councillor Bill Williams to the Cabinet Member for Environment and the Public Realm. Councillor Bill Williams.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, I do have a follow-up question. Can the Cabinet Member give us any reassurance that any further loss of trees in the Bermondsey and Rotherhithe Community Council area, and in particular around Canada Water with the regeneration, will be reinstated and reinstated with the right and correct trees as befitting the area?
Thank you for your supplementary. I can reassure you that any tree loss is within our tree strategy and we will replace it in accordance with that. And obviously, Mark within the regeneration, Councillor Williams within the regeneration, will be hopefully getting more out of Canada Water. So as part of the 14,000 you already have, let's hope you have a lot more.
Okay, Councillor Williams is absent. Keir Williams is absent. So, Councillor John Hartley, do you have a supplemental question? To the Cabinet Member for Communities and Safeties.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, I do. And thank you to the Cabinet Member for focusing on residential burglaries in his reply. At a recent policing and safety-themed Dulwich Community Council, this was easily the number one concern amongst attendees, much higher even than the very legitimate concerns about the possible northern movement of the Croydon cat killer, which is a serious concern to you laugh. You're safe in Rotherhithe. I wonder whether the Cabinet Member could confirm that as well as the proactive work that's happening between the police, the community wardens and the local councillors to promote activities such as smart water to reduce burglary, that we can also engage in some publicity action, because we're seeing large swathes, even of the Dulwich area, that haven't been affected yet by the current sweep of burglaries, that are very, very concerned about it, and we need to get that message out.
I thank Councillor Hartley for the supplementary question itself. You raise a very important issue in itself, and certainly I'm willing to go back and certainly work with officers and yourselves and local ward councillors to see what more can be done in terms of additional campaign, so that actually all residents can be aware of the issue, and if residents are at the front of ensuring that their community is safe, we can make sure that we do reduce the burglary rate in the area itself. So certainly I'll take it back and look at what campaign we can have there.
Thank you. Councillor Johnson Situ is away. So Councillor Martin Seaton, do you have a supplemental question to the Cabinet Member for Environment and the Public Realm?
I do, Madam Mayor, and thank you for this opportunity. First of all, to thank the Cabinet Member, of course, for attending the Borough of Bankside and Wharf Community Council, as you are a member, and also for the support you've given us to ensure that we were able to publicise the meeting adequately. Upwards of 200 people attended, I must say. I would also congratulate the Cabinet Member, Mark Williams, for also attending. The issues of both East Street and, of course, the Wharf Town Hall were discussed, and I've got to say that they were a stimulating experience. Can I first of all then ask the Cabinet Member this question? How will the Council ensure the ongoing dialogue and consultation with East Street market traders to ensure the improvement to East Street will continue and benefit everyone?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Seaton. Yes, I was there on Monday, and it was a great meeting. It's a really exciting time at the moment for East Street. £200,000 being invested. I think we can all admit it's looking a bit tired at the moment, but hopefully this investment will make it a much more vibrant and wonderful place to live. To make that work, we do need to be working with the traders as well, with all the traders there. So we will be holding meetings with them and taking them through the steps. We are looking at giving them new stalls, new old stalls, redeveloping all that. We're looking at sort of bringing in new traders into there and actually making it a lot more vibrant and a lot more interesting place. So I'm looking forward to working with everyone on that. And obviously, if you'd like to invite us to your next community council, I'll give you an update on that as well.
Thank you very much. We now move to questions to the Cabinet Member for Environment in the Public Realm, starting with Councillor Michael Mitchell. Do you have a supplemental question, Councillor Mitchell?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I do. May I thank Councillor Merrill for his answer? I know he's visited the ward on a number of occasions and heard at first hand the strength of feeling against the proposals. Does he not agree that the scheme lacks any credibility if it spends £600,000 and yet has no modelling to demonstrate it will lead to any increase in cycling, it will remove between 50 and 100 parking spaces, and fails to address the issue of heavy vehicles, especially at peak school start and finish times?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you for your supplementary. I'm going to have to disagree on you on that one. I think that actually improvements in the cycling is absolutely essential in this borough. We've got so much, we can't fit any more cars in the road. So we do need improved cycling. I am, as you say, I have come into Dulwich quite often over the past few weeks, and I am listening to residents on where there are real concerns. We will be seeing if we can adapt our designs to meet those concerns. But this is money that's going through the whole of the borough and linking up north, south, east, west, and making sure that everybody can cycle through the borough. Let me just throw a statistic out. At the moment, we have 3.4% modal shift in cycling. That's 26,000 journeys per day. We want to get that to 10%. That's 76,000 journeys. The only way we're going to do that is a bit of a chicken and egg situation. Put the infrastructure in for people to use, and they will come and use it, build it, they will come, or we just wait until enough people are on there and our roads are fully congested. This is a way of we're thinking ahead in the future, and that's what we need to do, and that's what we are as a council. We think ahead and a plan for the future.
Thank you. Councillor Rebecca Lurie. Supplementary question.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you to the Cabinet Member for his response. As a fellow East Walworth councillor, I'm really delighted that there is a pilot going on the Walworth Road looking at how we can remove some of the rather large bins that take up vast amounts of space and cause disruption to people trying to walk up and down the Walworth Road and use the shops there. Would the Cabinet Member be able to give us some more information about the pilot and what benefits he thinks it will have for Walworth Road in the long term?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Lurie. An update on the pilot today. I've been informed that there now is no large road bins on the Walworth Road. We've taken the last one off this week. So, this makes the road, the benefit of this, and part of the reason, A, it makes roads a lot cleaner, a lot less smelly, a lot easier for people to get around. It means that disabled people can get up and down the pavement quite easily. People with double buggies. We've got one councillor here that's got a double buggy. And before these bins weren't moved, I would have said she would have struggled quite considerably to get that double buggy up and down that road. Now it's a lot cleaner. Now we've got to go through the phase of looking at now. We've got rid of it and I want to roll this out throughout the borough. If this works, this is a three to six month trial. Once we've got the stats, and I think it will work, but it's a bit early days now, if it works, I would like to roll this out to the whole of the borough, step by step, high street by high street, cleaning each high street one bit at a time.
Thank you. Councillor Sarah King, do you have a supplemental question? Microphone's on its way.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I'd like to thank the Cabinet Member for his answer. In addition to that, can the Cabinet Member explain what impact the Council expects both the implementation of the Cycle Quiet Ways and the Southwark Spine to helping increase the number of people choosing to cycle in the borough, as well as improving the quality of cycle journeys?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Councillor King. Yes, as I said, the impact is I want to get cycling all, as a council, not just me on my own, need to get cycling up to 10%. This will have a major impact on the environment we live in. The quiet ways are not, they're a cycling strategy idea, but they're not just about cycling. They actually reduce traffic, slow traffic down, make the area a lot quieter and a nicer place to walk for everyone. So this is, although it's umbrellaed under cycle strategy and umbrellaed under cycling money, this actually benefits more than just cyclists, which is a great part of this project.
Thank you. Councillor Anne Kirby, do you have a supplemental question?
I'd like to thank the Cabinet Member so much for coming up down to Village Ward, where you've helped a lot of people in the community really understand the works that you're doing at the Council to make it safer, and also with the cycle quiet ways. However, with regards to my supplemental, I was contacted by the Chair of Dulwich Society, who has raised a number of safety issues and concerns following the completion of the works on Townley Road. Can the Cabinet Member confirm that the Council is dealing with the issues that he's concerned about safety issues at the junction, and whether the Council will maintain ongoing dialogue with the Dulwich Society regarding this junction? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you for your supplementary. This was a project that was actually started before my time. It had a difficult conception and an even more difficult birth, I think you can say that. The reports I'm getting back from the schools and that, it's actually improved quite a lot for people to be able to walk. In fact, the modal shift at the schools for walking is getting a lot better there. If there are any safety issues, we've got to do our last safety audit on it, which we will do, which is normally done on three months after the implementation of the scheme. We'll do that, we'll bring up safety audit. But also, if the Chair of the Dulwich Society would like to get in contact with me and give me his feedback and details, then I will look into his comments as well.
Thank you. Councillor Rosie Schimmel, do you have a supplemental question? Okay. Hold on, this microphone's just come to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor, and thank you to the Cabinet Member for his answer. I'm slightly surprised, though, that he sounded so positive in his telling of how we're doing in terms of our recycling performance, because looking at the latest figures provided by all London councils to the Department for Energy, Food and Rural Affairs last December, it looks to me that Southwark's recycling rate has only gone up by 0.3% last year, and therefore we've resoundingly failed to meet the Council's own target of an increase in 2%. Can he confirm that that is the case and explain a bit more about what's being done to build on that improvement?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you for your supplementary. I'm going to be honest here. Yes, that is the case. We are one of the best boroughs in this city for recycling. That is really, and we're stagnated. A lot of other boroughs have dropped. The reason for this is actually the cost of actually getting rid of recycling. The actual being able to sell it on. Low-grade recycling is becoming more and more difficult to sell on. Hopefully that will improve. We're also starting up a scheme where we're looking at landlords, private landlords, and see if we can incentivize them, a bit carrot and stick, and see if we can get them recycling more. But the good news here is, this recycling that we can't sell on doesn't go to landfill. It actually goes to the cell chip up the road there, and that is used to heat 2,500 homes. So it's a recovery, not ideal, but, you know, 100% of our rubbish goes to either recycling or recovery. None of it goes to landfill in the last month. So we're working very hard on getting the recycling back up, but the key here is actually none of it goes to landfill.
Thank you. Councillor Del Morris, do you have a supplemental?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor, and I thank the Cabinet Member for his answer. Obviously, residents are asked to put their black bags out the night before because refuse collections can often come very early in the morning. We have problems with mice, with rats. I'm sure everybody saw the Twitter thing about the alleged four-foot long rat this week. But we also have, as I said, alleged. We also have urban foxes. Has the Cabinet Member looked at any other authorities to see whether or not that anybody has any innovative ways of dealing with the black bags that are put out where there isn't provision for wheelie bins or there isn't an alternative. Have you looked at what other authorities might do to solve these sorts of problems?
Thank you, Madam, and thank you for your supplementary. Yes, we have looked at other authorities. In fact, Ian Smith, who is our officer that looks into this, has looked at other authorities, one of them being Edinburgh, and how they deal with their particular rubbish. We are looking at starting a scheme in Henshaw Street. We're looking at the feasibility of that to actually look at how we can actually have bins within the street, within car parking space, and how this can be designed. It's really in its early stages, but we are looking at it. It is an ongoing problem in this borough of how we get rid of rubbish on black sacks. So we'll be doing it. And I think that was that the bell?
30 seconds.
Right. Okay, I will sit down so we can quickly sneak in another one then.
If you wanted to. I think it's too late anyway. Thank you very much for your responses. I'm sorry. Apologies to council rules. Okay, so no, formally, question time has now ended.